further words of welcome, but we're very happy that you're here tonight. We want to get started in this ministry as the young people take part, both in reciting of Scripture and singing the praises of the Lord. And our prayer is that you will be edified and blessed, and please be in prayer right now for our service and as the young people take part. Our meetings are webcast. That means people are able to view all over the world, and we would encourage and welcome those who have tuned in tonight to our services, and we pray it will be a blessing for you as well. In just a moment, Pastor Olson is going to come and lead us in an opening prayer, and as soon as he finishes that, we're going to turn it over to the music directors as they present the presentation tonight.
Brothers and sisters, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for all of your good gifts, and we recognize Whitfield as one of those gifts. We thank you, we praise you. You are kind and generous and good to us. Father, as one of many pastors and parents who belong to other churches, we are also grateful for the ministry of Toronto Free Presbyterian Church. And we pray that you would bless that ministry. We pray that you would bless the pastors and elders and deacons. Give them souls for their labor. Thank you, Lord, for all that they have invested in this school and the way that they are blessing our many churches and families. Now, Father, we ask that your Spirit would help us to sing and to preach and to pray and to listen in such a way that our hearts are rededicated to the task of educating these little ones. Our Father in heaven, we know that you do not change, you do not need to change, but we change. And we need opportunities like this to focus again and to dedicate ourselves. So bless this service to that end. We ask that your Spirit would move in our hearts so that Christ is honored and glorified. And we ask it all in his name. Amen.
Oh, yeah. this time, we are going to sing Be Thou My Vision. The JKs 2-8s are going to sing the first two verses, and then we would ask that you would join in with us on the last, which is the third, or the fourth verse in the hymn books. And this week, as we were talking about the dedication service and what it's all about, Mrs. Saunders had talked about the fact that it's not just about us dedicating our lives back, dedicating the school back to the Lord, but also getting our eyes where they need to be. Because whether our lives are going really well, or whether there's hard things in our lives, or our lives are just busy, no matter where it is, our eyes always seem to kind of lose focus. And Dedication Sunday often seems to include this song, Be Thou My Vision, for the reason that the first line of it is, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, save that Thou art. This idea of completely focusing our eyes on Him. So that's what we're going to sing now, and we ask that you would join the last verse with us.
Save that thou art. my portion, Lord, will be. I ask no more, complete in thee. Be justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation.
Young people, thank you very much for ministering in song to us. That was a beautiful piece. And thank God we are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing else that we need apart from Him. And of course, for the young people who have also been singing, and it was so good to hear you reciting the scripture and those very important questions and answers about the Lord. These are vital and important things. We have a blessing to bring now, and it is by way of two presentations that we want to make tonight. Back in our graduation in June, we were intent on presenting to a long-standing staff member, Mrs. Stevenson. She has been with us for 20 years now teaching in the school, but sadly at our graduation time, she was not well and not able to be here. So we're going to make that presentation tonight, and I'm going to ask Mrs. Stevenson to please come up here, along with our two vice principals, Mr. Robin Cleland and Mrs. Jill Saunders.
It is a privilege for us tonight to be able to honor a longtime employee, colleague, and friend, Mrs. Elizabeth Stevenson. We want to recognize her 20 years of invaluable service as the Whitfield French teacher. When Whitfield began in 1989, I found myself, as well as other things, in the role of French teacher, not necessarily by choice, but by necessity. And I remember being particularly thrilled when Elizabeth applied and came on board in 1997 to take Whitfield to a totally new level with her expertise. Mr. Cleland and I have observed Mrs. Stevenson has always given 100% in her teaching, planning, interaction with students and parents. In 20 years, it has never been said that Mrs. Stevenson did not pull her weight in all that she did. As head of the Modern Languages Department, and because she also teaches German, Mrs. Stevenson has commendably gone the second mile with all of her students. Judging from my own experience of teaching compulsory subjects for a number of years, they are not always the most appreciated, popular, or loved by students. But like other faithful members of staff, Elizabeth has valiantly soldiered on, maintaining a high academic standard. She also has a huge heart for her students, and I have often seen her weeping when she has been speaking of her students to me. Hundreds of students have benefited from her solid teaching, and there are now a few French teachers out there in the world who owe their skill to this hard-working teacher. And tonight, Mr. Cleland and I have the great privilege of being able to present this to Mrs. Stevenson, and we're going to ask Mr. Cleland if he will please read the plaque to her.
It's a great pleasure of Whitfield Christian Schools to present to Elizabeth Stevenson to mark 20 years of outstanding, faithful service in the academy and the development of the Whitfield Christian Collegiate. Your dedication, tireless efforts, and heart for the work of God are gratefully acknowledged, and we present this to Mrs. Stevenson tonight.
We have the mixed pleasure tonight. It is with happiness and sadness that we make the next presentation, really, of award. Well, not so much an award, but it has to do with Mr. Tony Gomez, who has taught for us for over 10 years now. And I would like to ask Mr. Gomez to come up here, and also please Dr. McClellan, who's going to make the presentation to Mr. Gomez tonight. Mr. Gomez just received, about 1 year ago, his 10th anniversary plaque, and he has been with us since 2006. And we have enjoyed the good fellowship of our brother, who retired in June and 2017. Our brother Tony has been responsible for teaching grade 11 and 12 physics, grade 11 functions, grade 12 advanced functions, and grade 12 calculus. And if that doesn't make your head spin, I don't know what would. Because even hearing those words, I just get a bit foggy thinking about them. And I must say my French would be a bit rusty as well, so I'm not so sure how far I'd go on that one either. But Brother Tony, we want to thank you very much for your contribution to Whitfield for this period of time. And we thank God for the investment that you have made in the lives of so many of our young people. And you know, our brother, he has been an encouragement to us in the staff room, for example, when the subject of the Lord comes up. Well, he is so eager to talk about the Savior, so eager to testify of what the Lord has meant with him in his own life, and of just explaining and expressing so many of his own personal encounters with the Lord and the Word and so on. They were blessed times. And I know he was much appreciated for his sense of humor in the class. And certainly he will be long remembered for his debut as Pharaoh in the 2015 Whitfield Productions' Where's My Mummy? So if any of you remember that, and you remember, maybe you don't recognize them now because he was all in disguise then, but they were very special times. And also want to let you know that Tony is continuing in his tutoring work, and he is available within our school. And if you would like any of your young people to have help in any of those areas that we have mentioned tonight, and then you come and see the office, and we'll be sure to link you up with our brother. And so it gives us great delight tonight to make a presentation to him for the many, many years of his faithful service. And so, brother, we appreciate so much your service for the Lord. Dr. McClelland, being the president of Whitfield and the founder of our school, it is a pleasure to have him here to be able to make that presentation tonight. And we thank God for those who have invested so much for so many years. I want to make a public tribute tonight to all our staff members. We have, I believe, the best gathering of skilled professionals in our school, and I thank God for each one of them. They come with their various skill sets, their disciplines that they have learned and studied in school. Some of them are returning to us, having gone through Whitfield, pursued their education, and they are with us today, and we thank God for them. But the tenure of long-standing experience of our teaching staff, it really is such a benefit and blessing to us. It keeps the continuity of our school, and it's amazing to some of our young people who have gone away, and they turn around and come back, and they find, oh, you're still here after all these years? And that is a blessing in one sense, I'm sure, and another sense maybe not, but we thank God for each one of them, because they invest much more than simply for a paycheck. They invest their lives, their hearts, into your children, to our children, and we acknowledge them before God. I would encourage you, parent, grandparent, friend of Whitfield, to please don't let a day go by that you do not hold up our staff members in prayer. They're on the front line, and they are doing a great work, because it's one thing when you teach your subject. It's one thing when you bring the math textbook open in the classroom and you go through all of those necessary parts of the program. But it's another thing when you realize that there is a spiritual dimension to everything that we are attempting to do in Whitfield. And we know that the devil is not happy about that. And we realize that we are facing powers that are invisible to us. And yet, as the Apostle Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And Christian education is one thing that Satan hates. And so, therefore, we need your prayers daily. We need your help, your intercession to God, that he will put a hedge around us and that he will protect us in all that we are attempting to do for him. At this time, Dr. McClelland is going to come and lead the congregation in the dedication prayer.
Just before we pray, I'd like to add my words to those of Dr. Saunders and Mrs. Saunders. We do appreciate these two staff members who have been honored tonight, and I think particularly of Tony, because I was at school and they brought to me this thing called calculus. And I absolutely detested calculus in school. And yet I went on for 15 years in engineering and never once had to use calculus, for which I was very, very happy. But we're glad for these two folks, and we appreciate their labor of love down through the years. Now could we ask the congregation to stand, please, for the dedication prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before thee today. And first of all, we thank thee for who thou art. Thou art the living and the true God. And we bless you, O God, for the words as spoken by our pupils, that God is a spirit infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. And Lord, we thank thee that though thou art high, yet dost thou have respect for the lowly. And Lord, let us look upon this tiny earth where we live and the tiny people that we are upon it. And we thank thee, Lord, for thy grace and for thy love, especially in giving thy Son to die on the cross that we might be reconciled unto thee. And so tonight, Lord, we thank thee for who thou art and for thy great goodness in salvation. We thank thee also, Lord, for calling us into the work of God, especially amongst the young people. O God, thou hast told us in thy word, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And Father, we thank thee for the many, many hundreds, nay, thousands of students who have passed through our ranks, gone out into the world as good citizens of this country. But we thank thee most of all for those who have gone out as good citizens of that land that is fairer than day. So, our Father, we praise thee for the fact that thou hast called us into the work among the children. We ask, O Lord, to bless our teaching staff and our administrative staff. We thank thee, Lord, for their dedication day after day and week after week and month after month. And we thank thee, Lord, for the blessings thou hast given to them in seeing young people dedicate their lives to Christ and then go on out into the world and live a life that is well-pleasing to thee. So, Lord, bless and encourage our staff at all times, and, Father, may thy hand be upon them for good. And we thank thee, Lord, for all of the students that thou hast given to us. Each one of them is a gift of God to their family. And we pray, our Father, that thou would bless the families and grant that every parent will so order their home that their little ones may be brought up in the fear and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So, our Father, we thank thee tonight for 28 years of our school, and tonight we would dedicate it afresh to thee and for thy work. And, Lord, we pray, especially as we have always prayed, that thou would make it a school of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the students may meet the Lord in the corridors and in the lives of the teachers, and especially in the Word of God. So be with us now, we pray, and bless us in this year to come. Grant, O God, that we'll see even greater things done this year than heretofore. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
You are very welcome here tonight to our service. If you happened into our church tonight and you were not quite prepared or knowing that we were having our dedication service, well, we certainly welcome you and we trust it will be a blessing. It already has, I hope, to your own soul. We certainly want to acknowledge all of our parents and our grandparents and those who are friends of Whitfield and perhaps some alumni that we have with us tonight in our service. You are very, very welcome. And again, those viewing our service online tonight, we pray that God would make all of these things a blessing to you. Sometimes when we come to make announcements and to relay information about Whitfield family, it is not happy news. And we want to pass on our condolences tonight to Mrs. Kahn. There was a tragic death of her son, Michael Kahn, who was killed just this past week in a tragic situation. He was only the second of our Whitfield students to have passed away in all the years that we have been in operation. And so I would encourage you, please, to pray. The funeral was yesterday. I would encourage you to pray for Mrs. Kahn that she would know the blessing of the Lord. Michael graduated in grade 8, going back many years ago, but we just want to remember that family tonight before the Lord. We're going to give you an opportunity now to serve the Lord in the offering, in worshiping Him. As you know, Whitfield is a ministry that is operated by faith, and the tuition fees that you contribute, and we acknowledge it is very difficult for some families to be able to come to even commit themselves to the education of your children because it's a financial burden. We understand that. But you also understand that the ministry is not one that is overflowing with funds, And we depend very much on the charity and the benefit and the donations of people outside of their tuition fees. And many of you have generously given to the school, and we acknowledge that. We thank God for you and for what you can give. And so the offering tonight in its entirety is devoted to the school ministry, and we trust that you will give as the Lord has prospered you. Now we're going to remain seated while we sing a hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And then when we come to the final, well, we'll have two verses to close. There are only three verses in the hymn, but we're going to sing two final verses because we have to allow the children that are here, they're going to be going downstairs during the time of the message tonight, some of the young people. Let me also make one just announcement to you regarding the gathering of your children at the end of the meeting. The JK and SK, they will be going downstairs in the church building here. So parents, you'll be able to collect them after the service. And the grade ones, they'll be going over to their classroom in the primary school. And that's where you'll be able to find your little ones at the end of the service. So we're going to sing this tremendous hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, as the offering is received. To stand and sing, and I think you sing much better when you're standing. So we're all going to stand to sing the final verse, and then we will also go back to the first verse again after that. And the children will now be dismissed.
Let's raise the mind with faith.
be seated. That is good. We want to say a word of congratulations to our brother Murray Michaelate and to his dear wife as she gave birth this past Thursday to a baby girl. So now they have a boy and a little girl, and we're very thankful that the father came through it all right as well. There's no problem there. Thumbs are up, so that's good. And he's actually with us tonight in the dedication service. So, brother, please assure your wife of our prayers, and we thank God for his blessing upon your family, and we trust that it will be, well, many more to come. We could just say that. That would be a good thing. Yes. Would you please turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Let me encourage you, if you're a little warm tonight, to take your jacket off and be comfortable. I have just a few verses that I want to read to you from the book of Acts, chapter 13. And this is a little history that the Apostle Paul gave when he went to Antioch and he went into the synagogue. As he always did, he went to the Jews first, and then if they received well, if they didn't, he went to the Gentiles. But he's relating to his brethren, to the Jewish people, some things about the history of Israel. And we're going to pick up at verse 22, which actually had to do with the removal of King Saul and the setting up of David. And when he had removed him, Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Would you bow with me, please, in a word of prayer? Our loving God and our eternal Father, we give thanks tonight for the privilege of being in your house, in the place of prayer and worship. We are thankful for the children, the young people who have ministered tonight to us, and we pray the word of God will be fastened in their hearts, that every verse of scripture that they memorize, that every word that they learn in the devotional times, in assemblies, and in the Bible classes, that Lord, these things will be firmly grounded in their souls, and that they will come to know Christ as Savior and Lord of their life, and that they will go on to serve and to live for the Master. Dear Father, I pray now tonight as we come to the Word, the Scriptures being opened, that Lord, our hearts would be open to the Word. Take away every distracting thing. Let us be settled and still now for the moments that are remaining in our service. And the Spirit of God will come and speak through me. Lord, I need your power. I need that anointing and unction from heaven. I pray, Lord, that we will not be distracted, but rather hearing the word, it will find a resting place in every heart. Lord, change us, we ask. Change us to become less like our old sinful nature and more like unto our glorious Savior. We pray that he might be magnified tonight in our gathering. Lord, please hear our prayers and bless us now. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight, please, for the few moments we have left in our service on this subject, a heart after God, a heart after God. And the last phrase of verse 22 of Acts chapter 13 is what I want us to think about. For the living God gave this testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. We are told in the scripture that God chose David, his servant, and he took him from the sheepfolds, from minding those little animals out on the desert. And he took him from there to become the king of Israel. The Lord said to Saul, But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And then we come to this follow-up verse of testimony in Acts 13:22 that God said, I have found myself a man. And this man that he found was one that was after his own heart. You see, David was possessed. He was possessed by God. And he had a heart for the Lord. And David himself knew what it was to be forgiven of his sin. He knew what it was to experience justifying grace. How do we know? Well, Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2 tell us, Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. And so David experienced in his own heart the joy and the knowledge of sins forgiven. He knew what it was to be at peace with God and to know fellowship and relation with the Lord, the living God. Many of the Psalms that David wrote, they speak in detail about the suffering, burial, and resurrection of the promised Messiah, which shows us that David was a holy man of God, and he was directed by the mind of Christ. He was directed by the Spirit of God. Indeed, he knew the Lord intimately. And when you read the Psalms, you, in a sense, are drawing back the curtain of a man's private devotional expressions before his God. He loved the Lord with all his heart. And God testified of David, He is a man after my own heart. And so as we think about this man tonight, whose heart was touched by the Lord, we ask ourselves, or should ask ourselves, a very important question. It's this: Do I have a heart after God tonight? You have brought your children to Whitfield to receive a Christian education. You are trying to guide your family in the ways of the Lord. You want to see your little ones that mums you gave birth to, you want to see them going on with God, built up in their most holy faith, coming to the Lord at an early age, but determining in their life, I want to do nothing else but to serve the living and true God. That's your desire. But ask yourself this question: Do I have a heart after God in every area of my life? This is an important question. So we ask it, what does it mean then to have a heart after God? I suggest to you, in the first place, it means this. It is to love what God loves. It is to love what God loves. If you have a heart after the Lord, you're going to love the things that God loves. And what does the Lord God in heaven love more than anything else? My friends, He loves His only begotten Son. He loves the Lord Jesus more than you and I can properly comprehend. and the love that he has had and they shared from all eternity in the glorious unity that they have in the Trinity of their persons. From all eternity they have enjoyed communion and fellowship and a love that we have no idea. We cannot enter into that. And so what it meant for our loving Heavenly Father to send His Son down to a sin-cursed world to be abused by sinners like you and I, and to go to the cross and die there in our place is a wonder beyond our understanding. The love of the Father for the Son is more than we will ever know. God loves His Son. And my friend, if you are saved by the grace of God here tonight, then you also share in that love for the Son of God. In fact, I would suggest to you that that is perhaps one of the most significant examples or testimonies that you truly are a child of God, that you truly are saved by the grace of the Lord, if you say in your heart, with no one trying to convince you, no one twisting your arm, you're not trying to be in front of the press, you're saying in my heart, Lord, I love my Savior. If you can say that tonight, friend, I believe that you're truly a Christian. And it's a good thing to remember, because a lot of times you can doubt whether you really are saved or not. Many people struggle with the assurance of their salvation. But I say to you tonight, in the quietness of your heart, as you get before the Lord and alone with the Scripture, and you just pour out your heart to Him, and you would say, Lord, I have doubts of my salvation. Reassure me. And if you testify in your soul, I love the Lord Jesus, then, my dear friend, that you have evidence of a heart after God, because that's exactly what your Heavenly Father does. And we are drawn also to love Him because He first loved us. But you know, you're also going to have a love for the Scripture, for the truth of God's Word. David expressed this in Psalm 119, verse 97, when he said, Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. And so you can see the psalmist as he pours out his soul before the Lord, and he's saying, Lord, I love your Word. I love the Scripture. And I want to have it in my heart, because I know as the Scripture abides in my soul, I will not sin against thee. I want, O God, to love my Savior. And I want to love the Scriptures and the Word of God that tells me and reveals to me all about who the Lord Jesus is and what He has done on my account. David said here, I want to meditate on thy Word. You know, that was the good advice that Moses gave to Joshua, and that was conveyed. The Lord spoke it to Joshua in chapter 1, verse 8. He said, Look, this, he didn't say look, but this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Do you have a heart for God? Do you meditate in His Word day and night? Oh, yes, my friend, this is the evidence of a Christian, of a person who desires to say, I want to go on with the Lord. I esteem the Scriptures, the revealed Word of God, to such an extent that I want to know Him more. You see, you will only know the Lord Jesus more fully from the Word. Erasmus, the man who gave us the first Greek Testament in 1516, over 500 years ago now, he said that when a person comes to the Word of God, he said, you will have and know more of Jesus Christ, more of His mind, more of His heart, more of His will, more of His working. You'll have more understanding of Him than if He was standing in person before you. What did Erasmus mean by that? He meant that because God has shown us in detail His mind and His heart toward His Son, and what we are to learn of our Savior. You see, if we want to know and have a heart after God, we're going to have a love for the truth of the Word of the Lord. Oh, but it goes on from there. We're also going to have a love for obedience of the Scripture. It is better, Samuel said to Saul, it is better to obey than to sacrifice. That's rather significant as what we're talking about tonight in David's life because, well, it was that very incident in Saul's life when he failed to obey the commandment that Samuel had given to him to wait and not enter in to make the offering and the sacrifice. But Saul got anxious because he said that Samuel did not come in the appointed time. And so he went ahead and made the offering himself. He had no right to do that. As a matter of fact, he offended God in doing that. He disobeyed the Lord and he sinned against the Lord seriously. And when God sent Samuel the prophet, he said to him, whatever excuses you have for disobeying my word, the commandment of God, he said, it is better to obey than to offer sacrifices. My friends, that's a good word for us and a good warning for us in our lives. If we want a heart after God, we're going to love what God loves. We're going to love our Savior. We're going to love the Word of God. We're going to love to obey the Scriptures. In 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse 5, we're told of David. It said that he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And he turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. And I'm a bit sad to read this part, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. David, the man after God's own heart, he followed the Lord, and this is the testimony that the Scriptures give of this man. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord in everything except that one thing. And that one thing was a most serious sin. Adultery, murder. It's hard for us to comprehend and to enter into that. But you know, the Lord doesn't hide these things when he tells us about the life of his servants. But I wonder what it would be like if our lives were recorded and written by God. What would he say about us? We also love what God loves in justice and mercy. You know, Micah, the Old Testament prophet, he asks, what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly and love mercy and walk humbly with thy God? And so, my dear friend, if we're going to have a heart after the Lord, we're going to love what he loves. And the Lord loves justice and he loves mercy. And these two parts of the attributes of God that blend together, they are for us unfolding of all the workings of the Lord. For he is just and holy and pure and right, and there is no bending or turning of that justice. But on the other hand, our great God loves mercy, and that's why you and I today are saved by his grace, because he has poured out his mercy to us in such a way that we cannot comprehend. And you say, well, wait a minute. If God loves justice so much and he will not bend, but he loves mercy and he wants to save us, how does that work? Because how can I, as a vile, hell-deserving sinner, ever come under the justice of God? Oh, my friend, there's only one way that could happen. And David said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. And you know what the Lord has done for us? My friend, tonight, if you're saved, you know what God has done for you and me? Christ has taken my sin upon him. My sin has been imputed upon him, and the righteousness of Jesus has been imputed upon me. And there has been a great transaction that has taken place. And that is the only way that you and I can come under the justice of God in all of his holiness and purity. Christ had to bear the punishment of my sin. Because sin can never be excused. It can never be just taken away. Sin must always be punished. And my friend, Christ bore the punishment of my sin. And he bore the punishment of your sin. And so tonight, if you have a heart for the Lord, you're going to love what he loves. You're going to love his justice and his mercy. and pray that we will, in our lives, endeavor to allow all the right things that we attempt to do for the Lord always to be undergirded and always to be supported by a love for mercy. The Lord has told us to love our neighbor as ourselves. But that only comes after we love God with all our hearts, souls, minds, and strength. And you know, friend, what comes next is a love for sinners. Because our God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. And He could not give any more than He gave. He gave everything He had to give for us. And He has given that so that you and I might have peace with Him and be brought to glory one day. And so I pray that you and I will this night have a heart after God. But you know, there's something else here. And if we have a heart after God, it will be that we desire to honor Him with our lives. Them that honor me, God says, I will honor. You know, David was very despised by his brethren. As a matter of fact, when he went by the direction of his father to go to the war that was taking place between Israel and the Philistines, and David took some food and a gift for his supplies for his brothers and also for Saul, when he got there, his older brother said to him in a very strong rebuke, "What are you doing here? Go on back to mind those few sheep that you have. I know why you're here. You're just here to see the battle." In other words, you're just being nosy. David replied, "Is there not a cause? How is it possible that we stand by and see this Philistine Goliath abusing and dishonoring the living God of Israel, and yet nothing happens?" And so David by the Spirit of God went out to meet Goliath. And he was able by God's power to defeat the giant because David had the honor of God in the very forefront of his mind. And he loved the Lord and he honored God by putting Him first. My friends, you and I will honor the Lord by putting Him first in our lives. We'll put Him first in our expenses. We'll put Him first in our priorities. We'll put Him first in before other people. And sometimes that's maybe even going to involve family members. The Lord said in Mark 10:29, Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses, brethren, sisters and mothers, children and lands and persecutions." I'm not so sure I like that part, with persecution. You see, the Lord promises that as we are on the road to serve Him, to honor Him, when we obey His word and follow Him, yes, there's a cost involved. You cannot build this house without there being a cost. And you cannot build your Christian testimony and life with the Lord without a cost. And He tells us that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. I speak this to you as parents tonight. I speak it also to our students, for they know and have heard well that scripture about Matthew 6:33. They know it well from memory. And oh, my friend, if you're going to know the heart of God in your life, then you're going to honor Him and put Him first in all things. And of course, that leads us right into a life of serving Him. You love what God loves. You honor Him in all things. And you want to serve Him with all of your heart and all of your soul. As we bring this to a conclusion tonight, how do we understand that David had a heart for God, even and especially when we know that he sinned and committed some very, very bad mistakes? He grieved the Lord on more than one occasion. Certainly the case of Uriah is cited for us in Bathsheba. But you remember another account when he numbered Israel. and there was a great devastation that occurred over the very city of Jerusalem because of the sin of David. You see, my friends, these things are there, and sometimes we wonder, well, how can a man have a man after God's own heart if he has done these things? But you see, the Lord and how he looks at the inside of an individual. Yes, David was not perfect, and you and I are not perfect, and we've grieved the Lord 1,000 times by our falls. But yet still the Lord allows us to serve him, allows us to follow him, allows us to live for him, and he says and opens his arms to us, "My child, I want you to have a heart for me in my things." And if you have to say tonight in the service, "Well, that's something that's lacking in my life," then right where you're seated now, for your own benefit, for the benefit of your family, fathers, to lead your home aright, we must have a heart for God. Mothers, if you're going to lead your children and share with them and show them the way of righteousness and truth, you must have a heart for God. And young people, if you are going to honor your parents and honor the Lord and follow him, then pray this prayer, "Lord, please give me a heart after God." Let's bow, please, in prayer. Dear God, tonight we pray with all of our soul that this prayer would be fulfilled and answered abundantly in all of our lives. We confess, Lord, our sin. We confess our failure. We confess how far short that we come of the very least of our duties that we are to do in serving our Master and our God. We pray, dear Father, that you would put a hedge around us all, protect our homes and our families, keep us from the ravages of Satan and how he would love to rend and destroy us. And, O Lord, watch over our ministry here. Bless Whitfield. We pray that we will know the leading of God in every decision that has to be made. We will know the power of the Spirit of God helping us to go forward in all of our curriculum decisions. Every decision that has to be made regarding staffing and students, Lord, may the ministry continue to be a school of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that each of us will have hearts open to thy direction. Bless us now, we pray. Part us, O Lord, in thy fear and with thy rich blessing, for we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.